In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The theme for this evening's worship, as Pastor alluded earlier, is Ready or Not. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to our Old Testament reading for this evening, a reading from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, so just before we get to Matthew, we conclude the Old Testament with Malachi. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And as I was looking at our text for this evening, preparing and praying about this evening's sermon, and tomorrow's as well, I thought about the impending coming of the Savior. And from Malachi chapter 3, look out, he's coming, and when he comes, it'll be wonderful, it'll be fearful, and when he comes, everyone will know. And at that time, it will be too late to get ready. Too late to get ready. It also made me think of children. Do you remember when you were children, some of you now as children, there's a game where someone hides their eyes and they begin to count. What's that game called? Hide and seek. And then as you get to whatever the number is, 100, maybe you were supposed to count to 100. Sometimes we counted 10, 20, 30, 40. Wasn't quite fair to count that way. But when the count was up, it was, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, someone's searching for you. Ready or not, someone's coming to look. It also made me think of children in school. You know, it's often the case, it seems, that when a teacher is ready to give a test, that teacher will oftentimes say ahead of time, well, in a week or so, I'm going to give a test. You need to be ready. Then a few days before the test, I'm going to give a test. You better be ready. And then tomorrow is the test. You better be ready. And invariably, isn't it true, teachers, that when you get started with the class and you say to them, okay, put everything away, everything off your desk, all you need is a pen or a pencil, it's the test. Invariably, one of the children or some of them will say, test? We don't have a test. You never told us. That's not fair. And what does the teacher do? Ready or not, here it is. Clear everything away. It's time for the test. I was thinking of those things as I thought of Malachi's lesson. God, through the prophet Malachi, says, ready or not, I'm coming. I want you to be ready, God says, and therefore I will send my prophet ahead of me. I will send my messenger. And I think of the Old Testament Elijah. What a great thing we sang just a moment ago, the days of Elijah and the other prophets. Thank you, Kent, for picking that. The other prophets, the Old Testament figures, were the ones who readied the people because God was coming, coming in the Messiah that he had promised from before the beginning of the world. Surely, as he promised to Adam and Eve in the garden, he would send a Savior. Ready or not, here I come. In the New Testament, Jesus, speaking of John the Baptizer, as we read in the gospel lesson for this evening, Jesus said of John the Baptizer, believe it or not, he is the Elijah, the one who was prophesied to come. The reason that the Old Testament Elijah came was to help the people know that through the prophets, through the Word of God, God would come. And God would bring a Savior to the world. And the New Testament Elijah, John the Baptizer, testified of Jesus. Behold, he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He who is coming after me was before me. And he who is coming, speaking of Jesus, I'm not worthy to bow down and untie his sandals. I baptize with water. He baptizes with fire and with the Holy Spirit. That alludes to what we have again in Malachi. Malachi says, speaking for God, I will send my messenger ahead of me. And when he comes, he will fill all the temple with his glory. God was speaking of Jesus, not an earthly prophet like Elijah or John the Baptizer, but a God-man prophet. And when he comes, when my messenger comes, he will fill the temple with all his glory. Jesus is coming again. During the season of Advent, we wait for, we watch for, we anticipate the coming of Jesus. Will it be this Advent, or must we tarry? Will he tarry, and must we wait yet a while? The interesting thing about Jesus, the messenger, the Messiah, is that he is both the messenger and the message. He was surely the one that God was sending, God the Father, into the world to bring the message of God's love, God's demands, God's judgment against sin, and also God's love for his people. God sent the very best. He sent Jesus, his son. And Jesus was the messenger of God's judgment and God's forgiveness and grace. But more than just a messenger, Jesus was the message himself. Jesus was the one who came to bring God's love, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God among us. Jesus came to bring the message of God's love, but he was God's love. He is God's love. He's the message of forgiveness. And in himself, in his life and death and resurrection, there is judgment against sin, and there's righteousness and forgiveness and mercy for you and for me. Malachi says, when he comes, what will we compare him to? Well, we can compare him to a fuller's soap, a launderer's soap, that strong soap, like a lye soap, which gets everything out, in whose presence, in which presence, sin and the stain of sin cannot stand. It's that kind of cleansing. It's that kind of purification when the messenger comes. What else do we compare him to? Well, we compare him to a refiner and a refiner's fire. Look how hot that is, how burning that is. And that's what a refiner's fire is. A refiner's fire purges out and causes dross, causes imperfections to rise to the surface so that it can be swept away and discarded, leaving what's perfect and what's pure behind. When the messenger, who is the message, comes into his temple, he will be like that refiner's fire and the fuller's soap, against which no sin can stand in his presence, because he wants and he causes, he makes us to be perfect. What Malachi says, too, is it's like a silversmith who refines silver. You may have heard this illustration before. It's a wonderful illustration. A woman went to a silversmith to see how the silversmith was purifying silver. And what the silversmith did was to put a little bit of silver into the vessel and then plunge it into the fire. And when it looked as though the silver could be destroyed, he quickly withdrew it and then skimmed off the slag and disposed of it. And when it was time again, plunged it back into the fire and then quickly withdrew it again. And the woman asked the silversmith, "How and why do you do what you do?" He said, "It needs to be in intense heat, but I have to watch it for every moment. Because if I look away from it, the silver could be destroyed itself." And the woman said, "Well, how do you know when it's done?" And his reply was, "When I withdraw it for the last time, if I can see my image in it, then I know it's perfect and pure." That's the message of the messenger. That's Jesus, who refines us, who allows us to go through difficulty and trouble and hardship, but he's watching you every moment. He's watchful of you, and he withdraws you from those things that would destroy you. And how does he know when you're made perfect, when you're pure? Because he looks into us, and he sees his image reflected in us. God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and help and hope. Malachi says, when I refine you this way, the Levites and all my people, then you can offer offerings of righteousness. An Old Testament picture of people bringing their offerings to the temple, there to give to the Lord, the Levites and others. And we'd see it looking something like this. Not only offering money, but offering ourselves. The image of Jesus in each of us, so that we live for ways that serve and please him. Surely, he tells us, when God comes again, God will judge, God will divide the righteous from the unrighteous, and it's all depending upon how they deal with Jesus and how Jesus is reflected in them. God says in our text today, when he comes, he will come as a judge. I think it's in verse 5 of our text, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and persecutors, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, who deprive aliens of justice, those who do not fear me. I said it a little differently in these words for us tonight. What is it that God judges? Well, he says, I will judge false believers, those who don't believe in me. I will judge the immoral. I will judge liars. I will judge cheaters. I will judge those who are uncompassionate, uncaring of others. I will judge those who are unjust, those who do not believe in me, those who do not follow me. Actually, our text and the reading of it tonight ended a little bit prematurely, a little earlier than I had intended. If you look at verse 7 of our text, what does God call? What does God say? Ever since the time before your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. So, how do we turn to him? How is it that we return to him only and always in the way that he's provided? He's turned to us in the cross, and he calls us in the cross to return to him. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross? He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? The Father turned away from Jesus in that awful moment, when Jesus bore your sin and my sin and the sins of all the world, he turned away from Jesus so that he could turn to us. And now he calls us to return to him as he has returned to us. Since our sins are forgiven, since the messenger has come, since we await Jesus, who is the message and the messenger, we wait for him this Advent season. So how do we turn to him? Well, another Old Testament prophet, Micah, said it this way. In Micah chapter 6, Micah says, with what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams as offerings? With 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body, for the sins of my soul? Is God pleased in burnt offerings? Is he pleased with rivers of oils? Is he pleased if we give our firstborn for our sins? Micah chapter 6 says, the answer comes, in the last of that chapter. He has showed you, O men and women, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? How do we turn to the Lord or return to Him? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. It's interesting, too, the Old Testament, or the Gospel reading for this evening, spoke in a similar way as John was speaking to those who came to him. The people said, well, what should we do? And he said, if you've got something that somebody needs, clothing and food, give to them. The tax collectors, what should we do? Well, don't defraud. And to the soldiers, don't take advantage of your positions. What he was saying to them is act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. God says during this Advent season, ready or not, I'm coming. Lord, will it be during this Advent season? Lord, help us to be prepared for your coming. And as we do, Lord, help us to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with you. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds ready for the coming of the Advent King. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen.